Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The science of genetics has now been thrust upon us wonderfully. And as a result of that, the notion that a 3,000-pound hippo could evolve into a 300,000-pound whale through a series of genetic missteps is no less a stretch than a Darwinian bear evolving into a whale with a tail, Darwin's view. The notion that unguided, that purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling freshwater hippo-like animal into the system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale in a mere matter of 10 million years should take more faith than people can muster. Unfortunately, many people believe that this has happened. Why? They've bought into the rhetoric. They haven't looked at the reasoning. And we say that the reasoning is powerful, but sometimes you have to see it with your own eyes. Where a picture becomes worth more than 1,000 words, or a film on DVD worth even more. And that's what we have with Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It's a DVD. It doesn't preach, but you watch this. And you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Darwinian model of evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups. It simply does not comport well with the evidence and the facts. Again, the DVD, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth, it's a fascinating exploration of life in the liquid universe that covers more than 70% of our planet. You'll discover the mystery and majesty of sea turtles, dolphins, humpback whales, as I just described, and much, much more. It is absolutely stunning, available for your gift. You simply don't want to miss this resource. Find it at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Charles, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Charles.
Hello, how you doing there, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. First, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing. I know firsthand how difficult it is to go against some of this teaching that's out here. And so I'm going to continue to pray for you and hopefully in the future financially support you. So I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Me and my family just left the church that was had a lot of word of faith theology in it and prosperity teaching. And now we are at another church, and the teaching to me is wonderful. The service that they do as far as the outreach and mission ministries and other things, they do a good job in that area. I have a concern because it's an EPC church, Evangelical Presbyterian Church, and there's some things that I noticed, like during service when they do baptism, they don't submerge, they sprinkle. And it looks like they also baptize infants. The other thing is, at the end of service, before the benediction, I noticed that there's no invitation to Christ. Well, I will say they do give an invitation to Christ if you go to a introduction class, they introduce you to the church, but during service, they don't. And then the other thing is, I know they take communion like once a quarter or something like that. So those three things are my concern, and we really like the church and everything that they're doing, but those are my areas of concern. I was wondering, could you help me?
Well, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church is centered in the mainstream of Reformed Westminsterian Orthodoxy, and it's far more conservative than the PCUSA, which has become an abomination in many different ways. So some of these issues that you're talking about are somewhat secondary. When I say somewhat secondary, I'm not saying they're unimportant. For example, I personally hold that communion should not be occasional in a church, but should be very regular. I think it's best that you take communion every week. You can't live on yesterday's manna. And I believe that it is through communion or the Thanksgiving meal, also known as Eucharist, that grace is imparted to the life of the believer so you can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. In terms of baptism, baptism literally means to immerse, to put into. And so in the Old Testament, baptism was pictured by the passage of God's people with Moses through the Red Sea. And John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Covenant, baptized in water for repentance. And of course, Jesus received John's baptism, and by doing that, he transformed the water and baptism itself. It is a new covenant reality, and it is the means by which we enter into the kingdom of God and are joined to Christ and therefore granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the first act of obedience on the part of the believer. So when you're confessing your faith in Christ, you're also joining the community of faith, and therefore you take up your cross and you're daily following Him, and you're visibly identifying with not only Christ, but with His community, and therefore at the end of the day, it's the testimony that you're making to the world that you're no longer your own, that you've been bought with a price, that you've been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, through His resurrection power. So I think these are important issues, but they are not, at the end of the day, issues that divide believers from one another. These issues are issues that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. If you're baptized as an infant, it does not ensure that you are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, because ultimately you have to contend for the faith and remain in the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Okay. Now, I understand, and I'm glad that you explained that there are secondary issues. What about the issue of when, you know, at the end of service, or right before the end of service, before the benediction, there's no invitation, I guess, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to there being an invitation.
Well, and certainly I think it's wonderful if there is an invitation, but here's the issue from my perspective. The issue is that the pastor is not there to do the work of ministry. Rather, the pastor is there to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. If a pastor tries to do the work of ministry on his own, it's a prescription for an early nervous breakdown or a heart attack. I mean, we are to equip the saints. And therefore, the community of faith stands as a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ. The whole service is a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ. And the church is being equipped so that after you have been fed and empowered by the Spirit, you can go out and be His ambassadors. Unfortunately, as I've said many times on this broadcast, most of us are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. Why? Probably not because we don't want to, but because we don't know how to. We've never been equipped to be effective witnesses for Christ. So I think ultimately the real issue is that the church is equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank. That helped me so much, and I've been battling with that because, you know, me and my wife, have to make a decision whether or not we want to stay or become members or not. But that is so helpful, and I'm going to pass that information on to my wife. Thank you very much.
You get it. My pleasure. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, do remember that the Christian Research Journal, you can find on the web at equip.org if you haven't subscribed. It is an absolutely exquisite, stunning journal. The content and the presentation matched beautifully. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember, you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Be right back.
The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God. And the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone calls. Next up is Joseph. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Joseph.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very happy to be talking to you. I got to tell you that. Thank you for everything, and God bless you, Hank. I really appreciate you.
My question
is this, Hank. I'm a Mason, right? And basically, point blank, I just want to know, is that okay, you know, as a Christian and follower of God, to be part of the Masonic Order? And I'm saying that because I mean, personally, I've never witnessed anything, you know, that's anti-Christian. You know, everything is founded on Bible scriptures as far as Masons are concerned. You know, the story of King Solomon. And, you know, within the order, you know, we have, you know, ministers and reverends that are Masons, you know. And I've asked one of my brothers who was a minister about it. But, I mean, how could I ask him because he's a part of the, you know, the Masons or whatever. So I didn't think I would get a really fair answer. But he did. He was kind enough to say if it was something that bothered my spirit, I should get rid of it.
Well,
you know, he also mentioned to me that, you know, that the devil uses everything as a tool, you know, including ministers and TV, music, you know, everything that's on his planet he uses as a tool to, you know, misguide, deceive us. And basically, I just don't want to be deceived, and I just want to be, of course, on the right track.
Yeah, just a couple of things, Joseph. One is, of course, as you probably know through personal experience, Freemasons often call God the Great Architect of the universe, and as long as they believe in this one God, they can define him however they wish. They can define him as Allah or Buddha or Krishna or Jesus Christ. And if you read the Masonic Bible, it contains an article that points out that while religions are many, religion is one, and therefore the conclusion that's drawn in the article is that you can come to their altar regardless of your God. And I think this is, you know, something that is very, very troubling, because though Freemasons do good works, I think ultimately as Christians, we want to be embedded in the life of a healthy, well-balanced church, because the church is the God-ordained vehicle through which we can do those good works, not only in terms of almsgiving and evangelism and being equipped to be change agents in the world rather than simply those who conform to the pattern of this world. But it is the church that ultimately grounds us in union with Jesus Christ, so that all of that is done not by might nor by power, but rather by his Spirit. So I think that there are attendant problems to Freemasonry in terms of worldview. And in fact, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on this a number of years ago because of the number of Southern Baptists, for example, that are Freemasons at the same time. So we might want to get that article into your hands so you can read it and then let the Spirit lead you. I mean, I think that you are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you know what you believe and why you believe it, then it won't take an electronic voice, but rather the voice of the Spirit within you that disturbs you in terms of a commitment in Freemasonry. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Daniel. He's listening in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I really respect everything that you do on your show, too.
Thanks.
I just want to say thank you.
You got it. My pleasure.
My question's kind of hard for me to form. I've actually asked it to many of my personal mentors, and they all call me kind of crazy. But I've been seeing a lot of subliminal messages that are satanic and pretty much everything, TV, music, it's overwhelming. Well, I started doing research on ancient Hebrew and stuff, and I found out that the number 6 is connected to the W, right? Well, I guess my question is, in the Bible, it says that the mark of the beast is the mark of the beast, but the number of a man. It never explains that the beast is an actual animal. And I'm thinking 2,000 years ago, Jesus couldn't say technology or computers. Our biggest computer in the world is nicknamed the beast. And if you connect the 6 to the W, WWW, World Wide Web, it connects to the beast. And I'm wondering if I'm onto something or if I'm just completely crazy.
Well, I would never call you crazy, but here's what's important is to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation, reading the scriptures for all their worth, reminding them for all their wealth. And when you do that, you find that the mark of the beast biblically is a parody of the mark of the lamb. So just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, so the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. There's no warrant whatsoever to think that this is a microchip, or that this is a World Wide Web, or that this is Sunday worship, or whatever people conjure up in their minds. The idea biblically, and this is comparing Scripture with Scripture, is that the forehead and the hands are symbols of what you believe and what your behavior is, which is to say, what you do and your worldview. And that's what identifies you in terms of who you belong to. So you either belong to God or you belong to Satan. You're either part of the kingdom of darkness or part of the kingdom of light. And therefore, John's reference to the mark of the beast must always be securely tethered to the Bible. And again, it's not a physical mark. It's not a microchip. It is simply your worldview and what you do. And what I think is really significant here as well, as you mentioned a passage in Revelation chapter 13. And in that passage, if you read it carefully, you have John telling his readers that with wisdom and understanding, they can discern the number of the beast and the number of his name. Now, if the beast is a 21st century character, then John would be deluding his readers in the first century by telling them that they could discern with wisdom and understanding who the beast was. Obviously, he's talking about a first century beast as opposed to a 21st century beast. But John also talks about Antichrist. Now, he never mentions Antichrist in the book of Revelation, but he certainly does in his epistles. And what he tells us is that anyone who denies that Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. In other words, whoever denies the deity of Jesus Christ is against Christ. So John says already many antichrists have come and gone out into the world. So don't take what you find in Scripture with respect to what's happening to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult in the first century and try to relate that to the World Wide Web. I think to do that is newspaper eschatology, and it would be making a mistake. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Ryan in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank. I have a lot of friends who are eschatologically dispensationalists and, you know, believe in the rapture and things like that. Personally, myself, I am, you know, like, my eschatological view is amillennialism. But a lot of my friends who are dispensationalists are kind of, I don't know, they've brought up UFOs and how they're demonic and they're going to, like, they point the way towards the Antichrist or set up, like, a one-world religion or anything like that. And I really don't know where they're coming from or how that relates. I was wondering if you could give me your position on UFOs and aliens and that kind of stuff.
I mean, I think that the notion that this is what they say it is negated if you actually listen to the message that you get from these extraterrestrials. Supposedly, it's a message that is more akin to a message you'd find in the New Age movement or an occult kind of construct. But the bottom line with UFOs is that evidence on them is very hard to come by. At least 80% or more can be attributed to natural causes. And again, the message of the ETs from the UFOs is typically that man has to accelerate his technological and spiritual evolution to avert global catastrophe and the like. So it's a message that is not in concert with a biblical message. And I think rather than speculate or engage in sensationalism or sophistry, we're far better served to say the Bible doesn't absolutely preclude the possibility, but I don't see any real credible evidence for it. And I think what I do need to do is make sure that the message that I proclaim, that I'm reaching the world with, is a message that is singularly rooted in what we know to be true, and that ultimately comes from the scripture and the great teachings of the church that have been passed down through the ages. There's a precedent. There are those who have run the race, finished the race, and kept the faith, and we can look to them as great exemplars that we are to follow, not in the sense of sophistry and sensationalism and sloppy journalism and the like, but in the sense of running the race and completing the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.